It's time to meet the candidates for the 2016 general election. They're on KOAL 1039 FM, 750 AM, and KOALITV.com. Tonight, we are live at Carbon High School's library as we meet Carbon County Commissioner candidates Casey Hopes and Tony Martinez. Let's join your host, Andy Urbanek.
Welcome to Meet the Candidates 2016. I'm your host, Andy Urbanek. I'm joined with Paul Briner and Casey Hopes and Tony Martinez, who are the candidates for Carbon County Commission. I'd like to welcome them and welcome you to KOAL 103.9 FM and 750 AM and KOALITV.com. We'd also like to thank Emory Telecom for being here. They're going to play this back on ETV 10, Channel 6, I believe, tomorrow. We did a coin toss, if I could speak right. My good education, we did a coin toss before the show, and Tony won the coin toss. And so what we're going to do is we're going to turn 2 minutes over to Tony and let him introduce his platform, and then 2 minutes over to Casey. And so I'll have the timer here, and go ahead, Mr. Martinez.
All right. I want to thank you, Andy and Paul. This is a little different atmosphere than what we had expected, but great nonetheless, and it serves him for his project as well. So best wishes to you on that, Paul. I want to thank also the people that have shown up here tonight to support Casey and myself. It's kind of one of those things where sometimes you get a lot of phone calls, a lot of headaches, but there's a lot of rewards in it as well, and I'm sure Casey can attest to that. I wanted to tell you a little bit about myself, Tony Martinez. I was born and raised in Carbon County, educated as well in Carbon County, married the prettiest girl in Carbon County. We have been here most of our lives. There was a little trip that we did to California and Salt Lake, and we realized that, Carbon County is not so bad after all. So we're back here. We're living the dream, as to speak. And I never thought I'd get into politics, and that's one thing I've learned. My dad used to be the mayor of Price back in the 80s, and so him and I would go back and forth on some ideas, and I would tell him, maybe we ought to do this, maybe we ought to do that. And he said, you know what, you need to get into politics. And I told him never. I'm never going to do this. So a little lesson to you, Paul, never say never, okay? Always chase your dreams. So, but having those roots in Carbon County, I heard that that some of these mines were closing. And I'd come home that day from work, and my son was home with his friends. And you start looking at your kids, and you start wondering, what are the opportunities here for your kids? What are things, what kind of jobs, what kind of opportunities are going to be here for them? And that was kind of what spurred me on to throw my hat in the ring, so to speak, and to get involved with politics. So thank you for having me tonight.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Martinez. Mr. Hopes?
Well, thanks again for the opportunity to be here. 4 years ago when I ran for commission, I stated that Carbon County is the hidden gem of Utah. There are multiple opportunities for tons of different things, recreation, work opportunities. And what makes Carbon County the best place to be is its people. As I've had the opportunity to serve over the last 4 years, there are multiple things that have made me love this county even more. The generosity of the people. The ability of the people to work in a common theme to help the community as a whole. I am and will forever be grateful for the opportunity to have served as a commissioner in this county. There are great and wonderful things happening, and we have a lot of things that we need to do. We're working on diversifying our economy so that our children can stay here. That was part of the reason why I threw my hat in the ring, as I want my children to have the opportunity to at least choose. Some of our children will leave the community because it is a smaller community. But for those that want to stay here, we need to provide for them that opportunity to stay in our community and be part of it. I am thankful for Tony for running for commission. because it gives me an opportunity to evaluate the work that I've been doing. And I can honestly say that I've put my time and my effort into this job.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Hopes. I'd like to introduce Paul Briner, my co-host. He is the Sterling Scholar candidate for social science, is what I've been told. And a couple weeks ago, he called the radio station wondering how we could team up. And so that's why we're here at Carbon High, is we're working with Paul. He's working with me. He actually got students to get us questions. So some of the questions tonight are from Carbon High School students, which is going to be a lot of fun to see what's on their mind and what they're thinking. And then most of the questions came from people emailing to elections2016@KOAL.net. Next week, we're meeting with David Hinkins and Heidi Redd, who are running for the Utah State Senate, here in the same room, same time, same everything. I think he's going to wear the same tie. And we are going to ask them different questions, obviously. So if anybody has questions that they want to ask our Utah State Senator, David Hinkins, and the lady that he's running against, please email to elections2016@KOAL.net. And so we're going to jump right into our format. The format is we go and we give them 2 minutes each to answer it. Pretty simple format. And so the first question we're going to ask Casey, and then it'll go to Mr. Martinez, is what is your economic view for Carbon County's future, and what is your role in shaping it?
My thoughts on the economic future of Carbon County, I honestly see a bright future for Carbon County. I think we have a lot of things to offer. We have an educated workforce is one of the greatest things that we have to offer. We also have a very diverse industry in that our mining has provided lots of opportunities. We have electrical contractors. We have multiple different types of contractors that can help diversify our economy. The one thing that we need to understand is that the government's role in economic development is providing an opportunity for businesses to be successful here. As a commissioner, we've tried to lessen the regulations and the processes so that we're more business friendly. We've also provided set up economic development areas and redevelopment areas so that when businesses do come here, we know where the power and the water and the sewer and the natural gas is, and we can say, if this is the size of property you're looking for, this is a good potential piece of property for you. We're putting into place a lot of the groundwork that makes it beneficial for newer industries, manufacturing, and other industries to come into our community. I honestly think there's a bright future, not just for diversification, but also for our energy industry in our area.
All right, thank you, Mr. Hopes. Mr. Martinez.
We all understand that what we're used to around here is the coal, the oil, the gas. Those industries obviously have felt a pinch. I'm optimistic, however, though. I believe we do have a good infrastructure in Carbon County. But I think the best asset that we have are the people. One thing that we found when my wife and I moved from the area, Carbon County is a lot different from the rest of the world. And when you're away from it and you come back, you realize that the biggest things that keep you here are the people. We have opportunities from several different organizations, businesses that can move into this area and help alter what we're used to. You know, there's nothing wrong with coal mining. It's incredible. If you ever get a chance to go and see a longwall operate, it's amazing. It's just amazing what those guys and women do every day. Just needs to be appreciated more so. What you can do as a politician is to attract other industry here. So when the coal mining, when the gas, when the oil pops back up, that'll just be a bonus for us. So if you can bring in other business, other industry, and make it friendly, invite these people in, make them want to be a part of Carbon County, I'm not sure that any of us would really want Carbon County to grow like the Wasatch Front, but a little bit of growth would be tremendous for this area.
Thank you, Mr. Martinez. We'll start with you for our next question, which is, will you support East Carbon Senior Center serving lunch 5 days a week and the county paying for it versus East Carbon City?
I would. I'd support that. I know East Carbon City is actually paying for Thursdays. I think that was $59,000 that the city of East Carbon put towards the senior centers for lunch. And Bonnie Bell is doing a great job up there. That lady, she's a spitfire, and the ladies just love her. So seeing those people, talking to those people in East Carbon, those residents, you know, it comes down to a matter of money, of budgets. That's you know, Casey is well aware of that. It's just how it operates. There's a lot of things, a lot of opportunities that should be supported. Whether they can, that's a whole other issue. But to answer your basic question, yes, I am for that.
Thank you, Mr. Hope.
That's a great question, and I understand wholeheartedly where that question comes from. Last year we had the, during our budget cycle, it was proposed to us that we take one of the days from the senior centers and not provide lunches on those days. We asked all of the departments in the county to come up with some savings, and that was the proposed savings. As we've looked at the budgets for this year, we've realized more savings than we had expected, and it is the intent of the commission to provide, and I'm appreciative of the way this went down. We will provide a fifth day lunch for both senior centers, not just the East Carbon Senior Center, but also the Price Senior Center. It will be more in the format that it was this year. It will be provided more in the format of a cold lunch, sandwiches, salads, things that won't have to be prevention staff, but it will allow for a savings and be offered on the fifth day and still realize a savings lean years.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Hopes. We're going to move into the next question, and we're going to start with you. Annie received the name from carbon-based coal. Coal has been the backbone of the economy for decades. With the decline in popularity and in the especially coal, what can you as county commissioner do to attract a replacement industry for our area's future?
This is kind of similar to the question before. One of the things that we're doing to diversify our economy is, well, there's a couple things. We started a six-county infrastructure coalition. That infrastructure coalition at the region, economies can happen in the region, and how we can share our economies. So one thing that we're looking at is what things are being offered in other counties surrounding us that we can feed off of, and vice versa. The other depth, look at all of our infrastructure, where our gas lines, our power lines, and everything is at, those development, economic development areas, in the proper places, so when we do have businesses, we're set up, and we've already made agreements with the cities, the school district, and the Pri-wide, and we're ready to offer incentives to businesses. Those are the things that we as a government are able to do and are doing to incentivize different economies to our area.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Hopes. Mr. Martinez?
Some of the best things that are around this area, I said, are like the Compton, the president of the Utah Mining Association, Todd Bingham, who's the president of the Utah Manufacturing Association. And the connections that these people have, obviously mining is down, but manufacturing is 10 times larger than mining. There's a lot of companies that are looking at Utah. If you go on the Wasatch Front, you see how they're growing. There are several companies that are looking to grow into rural areas. And believe it or not, we've had people coming through here, talking to the people, seeing what facilities we have here, what can be offered. And it's like we all know, it's a great place to live, and it's not that far from the Wasatch Front. So there's the rail, there's the road, there's the infrastructure's all in place. But we need to capitalize. We need to make it friendly for these businesses to come in and look and see what we have to offer. I'm working with Todd Bingham, the president of the Utah Manufacturing Association, to bring in some industries down here. We've got some dates set up in October already to bring a couple of companies down that are looking to expand. And I believe that's what it takes. It's not to say this is all we do, is coal or energy. We have to diversify and invite others in to this area and develop what we can.
Thank you. Our next question was submitted by a carbon student. It's somewhat similar, and we'll start with you for this one. The question was, what will you do to make sure that more coal plants don't shut down? And if they do, how will you make sure the people that work there will get jobs if they are fired?
Well, I don't know that any county commissioner can have control over federal guidelines, but what you can do is offer educational opportunities to kids. You know, stay in school, get a good education, and you know, as far as opening or closing any power plants, I guess they could keep their iPads charged a little more and their phones charged a little bit more. Use up as much electricity as you can, because the coal-fired power we do have, it's very very cheap. Compared to nuclear, wind, solar, any other means of energy production is a lot more expensive. So I guess I could just say keep the lights on and the air conditioning running all the time.
Mr. Hopes? That's a great answer. Some of the things that we're doing to right currently, there are multiple pieces of legislation that are trying to hinder our ability to produce power with coal. I was just on a phone conference this afternoon with Rocky Mountain Power about joining a legal battle for regional haze, against regional haze. They've had some success in Wyoming, and they're hopeful that we'll continue to have some of those successes here. So on a legal front, we're continuing to fight the battle against some of these regulations that are happening. But on the flip side, we also have multiple projects that are coming down the pipeline that are alternate uses for coal. There's a coking coal where they take the coal and refine it and go through a process and extract the volatiles, and then they can use that in the making of steel. There's another project where they take coal and through the Fischer-Tropsch process, or process like the Fischer-Tropsch process, they can make diesel fuel. The other things that we're working on is we're working with the University of Utah State University, USU, and also the University of Utah, in developing other uses for coal, some carbon fiber projects, and other alternate uses for the coal. So there are a lot of historically, it's been just energy, but I think as we look at coal and the different processes, there are more uses than we know of today that we can use coal for. So as we diversify our uses, that's where I think some of those jobs will be.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Hopes. We're going to head into a break here for a minute, and I would like to thank some of our sponsors. One of our sponsors is JN Auto. Another sponsor is USU Eastern. And one of the things I'd like to remind people of is USU Eastern has a rodeo team now. And they are going to have the first rodeo in 22 years on next weekend. And so make plans, get out, enjoy the rodeo experience with USU Eastern. There are supposed to be over 300 participants. And so it should be a great, great time. With that, we're going to head to break.
Cars, trucks, SUVs, sold by people you trust at competitive prices. Hi, this is Jesse Nelson at JN Auto in Huntington. At JN Auto, we are committed to becoming the Castle Country's trusted pre-owned auto dealer. If you don't see the car you want on our lot, we'll find it for you. Come visit us today.
For over 50 years, News Talk KOAL's Barter Bar has helped listeners buy, sell, and trade. From everyday common items to the unusual, you'll hear it on Barter Bar. Holding a yard sale? Looking for furniture? Or want to trade your car? put it on Barter Bar, online and on air. Barter Bar, a Castle Country tradition. Weekday mornings at 9:30 on News Talk 103.9 FM and 7:50 AM.
Science indicates access to high-speed internet during the school years can lead to, but is not limited to, streamlined acquisition of data, academic achievement, career advancement, satisfying relationships, cuter children, and joy. Our conclusion? Procure e-fiber or Xtreme Internet from Emory Telecom today. Contact Emory Telecom for a special back-to-school offer at 613-9605.
Rush Limbaugh. I make the mistake of assuming that everybody listens to this show every day and thus is able to understand the context of things that I say. News Talk, 103.9 FM and 7:50 AM, KOAL. Rush Limbaugh. The Ditto Head Nation knows that in eastern Utah, they can hear the Rush Limbaugh Show weekdays from 10 to 1 on News Talk, 103.9 FM and 7:50 AM, KOAL.
The Criminal Justice Program at USU Eastern is one of the most popular programs on the campus. The criminal justice field offers a wide variety of job options with this degree, not just in law enforcement and corrections, but also careers in the court system and attorneys or at their law offices. Their classes are generally smaller and they have the lowest tuition rates in the state. There is also financial aid available for those that qualify. For more information on the Criminal Justice Program at USU Eastern, contact Scott Henry at 435-613-5135.
You're listening to Meet the Candidates 2016 on KOAL 103.9 FM, 7:50 AM, and at KOALITV.com. Back to your host, Andy Urbanek.
Candidates 2016, and my volume keeps going up and down. You're listening to KOAL 103.9 FM and 7:50 AM, and KOALITV.com. We'd like to thank Emory Telecom with their ETV10 for being here and playing this back. We'd also like to thank Carbon High for hosting us tonight, and for my friend Paul Briner here that is co-hosting with me and helping to field questions. I would just like to give a shout-out to KOAL, 80 years. We just moved in yesterday to the building 80 years ago, and so on October 6th, we're going to have an open house. Come out, check it out, see what's been going on out there for 80 years. Still in the same location. Haven't moved. So come on out. We're going to jump back into the questions. We've got a ton of questions. We're running out of time already. I can see that. And so we're going to start with Mr. Hopes. Emailed in, Carbon County has reaped the benefits of mineral lease monies for many years. These funds have contributed greatly to expand our infrastructure. Please list facilities constructed within the past 10 years that have been fully or partially funded by mineral lease monies. Turn it over to you.
It's a great question, and we have reaped the benefits of having mineral leases in our community. What building in the past 10 years hasn't been built with mineral lease monies in our county? The new administration building, the road shop also has an equipment building that was built with it, the senior center. The number of buildings that the infrastructure that we built with the mineral monies is incredible. I think the ambulance garage, all of those buildings have been built with mineral lease money, and not just the buildings. We've had the opportunity to build roads. The 9 Mile Road was built with mineral monies. We've upgraded a lot of our roads with mineral monies. It's been a blessing to have those mineral monies. The one downside to the mineral monies is our budget was built a little bit on mineral monies, and that's where we're seeing the pinch in the county budgets, is being able to take and operate off of the monies that we should operate off of and not the mineral monies. And that's kind of where I see the downfall to the mineral monies. But overall, it has been a tremendous blessing to have those mineral monies. We're set up for the next 50 years as far as buildings go.
All right. Thanks, Mr. Hopes. Mr. Martinez?
Well, a lot of those buildings were built with mineral lease money, which is a fantastic thing when you can afford it. Long-term plan, though, is when that mineral lease money dries up, what do you do? And that's the situation we're in now. The mineral lease money, I believe, 10 years ago was right around $12 to $14 million. This year, I believe it's projected just about $2 million, maybe. So there's been a significant drop-off. Having a vision of the future and what could be coming, you know, again, I've been in the energy industry for 20 years, and we knew that these coal mines were going away 5, 8, 10 years ago, some of them. So we could see that this was going away, this was depleting. And you would hope that the officials would plan for it and see that, you know, regardless of what administration's in the federal office, we have to do what's best for the community. And some of the buildings were needed, some of the others, maybe not so much. If we can afford it, let's do it. If we can't, we'll do the building. So that's my outlook on that.
Thank you. We'll start with you for our next question, which was also submitted by a Carbon student, and one that I'm curious about too. What do you wish the public better understood about county government?
Better understood. Since I decided to get into this race, we've been to a lot of the commission meetings, and we've seen that when there's a certain topic, especially when there's an employee award, rightfully so, there's a lot of people that will attend and watch their family member, relative, whatever, be honored. And I think that's a great thing. But it's amazing is once that award's done, a lot of people leave. And there's been times when there's just four or five people in there listening to what's going on. I think, you know, the government can do only so much, but if the people don't get involved and engage with the politicians, they're missing out. And there's a lot of activities, a lot of things that happen, a lot of important things that are discussed. And I don't know that people read the minutes on these meetings, if they watch the videos, but those that are there live, they don't engage the politicians. And I think that's probably the best advice is be a part of government. Don't just complain about it. Be a part of it.
Thank you. Mr. Hopes?
It's a good question, and this is a question that I wish a lot of people better understood. Being a full-time commissioner, I've always been in my office. I set regular business hours, and I allow myself to be available to the public. I wish people were more engaged. I agree with Tony on this. I wish people were more interested in trying to find out what's going on. And the other thing that I think I wish people better understood is that there are 7 elected officials in our county. There's a sheriff. There's 3 commissioners. I got to make sure. There's more than 7. I apologize. There are multiple elected officials. There's a clerk auditor. There's a recorder. There's a treasurer. And all of us have statutory obligations to do specific jobs. A lot of times we blame one elected official or another, not knowing that each elected official has an obligation for specific duties and rights. And so we need to, as a citizenry, we need to be able to find out who does what and go to the right people when we have something that we're trying to find out or a gripe of what's going on in our community.
I really like that question. Thank you, Mr. Hopes. One of the things I like about that question is what can we do to get involved? As citizens of the community, if you're not registered to vote, get registered. Otherwise, shut up, get out of the way. And so it's really simple and easy to get registered. You can go to utah.gov, and there's a vote tab there. And you can register online. You don't have to go down to the courthouse. You don't have to go to the city hall. But get involved, understand what you're voting on, get to know the candidates, the issues, and then make an informed decision. And so I really think that that's an important part of what we're doing here tonight, is we want people to be informed. We want them to make an informed decision. And I have a soapbox that I always get on and I talk about, get registered to vote. Otherwise, just stay out of the way and live your life in a hole, I guess. I don't know. But do the right thing, you register to vote. And we're going to start with Casey on this question that was emailed in. With the decline of mineral extraction in our area, we will continue to see the decline of mineral lease. Why am I reading the same question again? I'm jumping on to another question. That was the same question. Do you support Carbon County government being the landlord business as it pertains to the construction of the new 7th District Court complex on Main Street?
Simple answer, yes, but I was told to never give a yes or no answer. Currently, as it stands, the old 7th District Court and some other buildings, the DNR building in Carbon County, were built by Carbon County and then rented back to a state agency. The current 7th District Court has been rented out for a fairly long time now. I'm not sure how old that building is, but it's been able to, once the building was paid off, those monies were banked, and only a partial amount of that money was put forward to build the new building. And so as we look at the future, this will be an opportunity for a revenue source for the county once the building is paid off. The state will actually make the payments on this building, and once it's paid off, they will continue to pay a slightly lesser part than what they're paying to pay off the building, but they will still pay a rent to the county, which will be a revenue source for the county in the future.
Thank you, Mr. Martinez.
My short answer is yes as well. This building, I've seen the renditions of it from the architect. I've been in a few meetings with the DFCM, and it is a beautiful building. The state is going to pay for it. And I think this gets back to the previous question as well, about people engaging. As I've been talking to those around, that's been one of the concerns about spending in the community. But it is going to be paid for by the state. One of my plans, hopefully if I'm fortunate enough to be elected commissioner, is to communicate a little bit better with the community, whether that be on the radio station, you know, celebrating your 80th year, to let people know what's going on. Like I said before, there's not a lot of people that will attend the meetings. They'll read some stories in the Sun Advocate, but there's a little bit more to it sometimes. Like I said before, this is going to be a beautiful building. It's going to be a Main Street attraction, without a doubt. If you haven't seen it, you'll be blown away when you do see this facility. But Carbon County will not be paying it. The state will be. And there will be a little extra money as well to cover the maintenance down the road as things wear out. But it will be a nice addition to the county.
Thank you. We'll start with you for our next question. What is your opinion of our local drug court program?
You know, I don't know that much about the drug court. We know that there obviously is a drug problem in Carbon County. The opioid abuse is just terrible around here. You know, Utah's was ranked number 4 in the nation. Now we're up to number 2, and Carbon County's number 1. Opioid abuse is just a terrible thing. We have overdoses. You talk to the people at the hospital, older folks. These are your younger, the next generation of people for Carbon County. Luckily, I know that the sheriff and some others have gotten involved, some medical staff, with medical-assisted treatment, or MAT. So there's the naltrexone and naltrexone as well, and to help these kids get off of opioids. Back in the day when we were at this school, back in the 80s, we never heard of such things as heroin that's taken up a lot of courts. And if we can stop that, I think it would free up some pressure.
Thank you. Over to you, Mr. Hope.
The drug court, it's a very well-supervised program in that those, not everybody that has a drug addiction problem, because of the size of the program, can enroll in that and get the assistance that they need. But those that do enroll, it's monitored quite heavily, and there's lots of testing and lots of organization for those that are in the program. It works really well. That's happening in our community is something that's called the CARE Coalition. The CARE Coalition is a drug awareness and prevention coalition that was started by the health district. And this coalition is set out to combat the drug problem that we have in our community. And it's an evidence-based program. They're using not just let's go out and be happy talk about not taking drugs, but they're using actual data from our schools, and they're applying that into how we address and talk to our youth and what things we're doing with them. And the good thing about this program is that it's a broad program. It's the county, it's the cities, it's the college. There is representation from just about every sector in our community to combat this, portray it. I think Sheriff Wood is getting his message out. That is one way that we could better papers and making sure that the message is more broadly distributed so that there are more people and the misinformation that's happening in our community.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Hopes. Mr. Martinez?
Yeah, I kind of answered that in the previous question as well. I think, right now, social media is so big, Facebook pages, Snapchat, all these things that kids have for communication. Maybe some of us older folks can take advantage of that as well and tell people about what's going on in Carbon County, some of the events, if the community leaders are out there in front of them, telling them what they're doing, and also listening to them. I'm not going to tell you that I have every answer for Carbon County, but I know there's a lot of smart people around here that do. And, that old saying that God gave you two ears and one mouth, and that was for the purpose to listen. And there's a lot of wisdom around here. So, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. I think standing out in front of people, listening to their thoughts, their opinions, and tell them what you're doing, what you're not doing, and maybe the reasons why. Just being open and honest with the public, I think that would be tremendous.
Thank you. We'll move on to our next question. It was submitted by a Carbon student, actually. Do you believe that the county should create its own fire department?
As you guys know, Carbon County is a pretty wide open space. And if we had one centralized fire station, if somebody has an issue up in East Carbon, Sunnyside, as opposed to South Price or Miller Creek, maybe it's a little tougher to get to. So I'm not opposed to looking at having each city have their own fire department and benefit it and bolstering those up. Having one centralized fire department in Carbon County, maybe that saves money. Maybe that's a decision you have to make when there aren't the funds there. But is it the action plan that we need to service everybody in the community? I'd have to see some evidence of that.
Your response?
Right now, the way the fire contracts are is the county pays the cities for fire contracting. I don't think, personally, my opinion, I think what we have now serves us quite well. To keep our fire ratings down for our homes, we have to have multiple stations throughout the community because response times would be too great if we tried to put them in one location. But I think the cities provide a very good service. The only thing that is at record is the amount that's being paid to the cities for those contracts. And we're working through that process. There may be advantages to creating a fire district and combining monies, but that's not a conversation that's currently being had at this time. Currently, the way it's working is working out really well. The cities do provide a great resource.
All righty. Thank you, Commissioner Hopes. Go ahead and turn on your mic for a minute. How important is internet to you?
Very.
Is it as important as water? Pretty darn close, huh?
Close, yeah.
He hesitated. Emory Telecom has laid fiber. That means that we get faster internet, quicker response times, and that our community is moving ahead with technology. And so we get faster internet. Before your time, we'd actually dialed up and it went, and made all these funny sounds. And we had to wait 20 minutes to upload one page. And I know you wouldn't put up with it now, but Emory Telecom has worked through that. And I'd like to thank them for being here, and we're going to go into a break now.
It's not too late to enroll at USU Eastern for the fall semester. USU Eastern has many degree options for many different individuals. Have you ever thought, I don't think I can afford to go to college? Well, here's a thought. You don't know if you can afford it if you don't look into it. Whether you're a student fresh out of high school or anyone else that has thought about going to college, call 613-5616 today and take the first step to a new beginning. Make sure to ask about financial aid options through FAFSA. Get off the procrastination train and head to USU Eastern. Let them help transform your life.
Armed American Radio on News Talk 103.9 FM and 7:50 AM KOAL. Host Mark Walters talks about current events and everything that matters, from our right to bear arms as the enemies of freedom battle us daily. Defend yourself with knowledge, education, and training. Armed American Radio, Sunday night from 6 to 9 on News Talk 103.9 FM and 7:50 AM KOAL.
Cars, trucks, SUVs, sold by people you trust at competitive prices. Hi, this is Jesse Nelson at Jan Auto in Huntington. At Jan Auto, we are committed to becoming the Castle Country's trusted pre-owned auto dealer. If you don't see the car you want on our lot, we'll find it for you. Come visit us today.
How much do you know about the candidates running to represent you? KOALITV.com, along with Jan Auto Sales and USU Eastern, are proud to bring you Meet the Candidates every Tuesday night starting at 5 p.m. live on KOAL 103.9 FM, 7:50 a.m., and this year streaming live at KOALITV.com. Join us at Carbon High School Library Tuesday, September 27th, where we will be talking with David Hinkins and Heidi Redd. You, the public, have the opportunity to ask questions. Email questions prior to the show to election2016@KOAL.net. Listen live so you can make an informed decision this November.
Science indicates access to high-speed internet during the school years can lead to, but is not limited to, streamlined acquisition of data, academic achievement, career advancement, satisfying relationships, cuter children, and joy. Our conclusion? Procure e-fiber or Xstream internet from Emory Telecom today. Contact Emory Telecom for a special back-to-school offer at 613-9605.
You're listening to Meet the Candidates 2016 on KOAL 103.9 FM, 7:50 a.m., and at KOALITV.com. Back to your host, Andy Urbanek.
Welcome back to Meet the Candidates 2016. I'm Andy Urbanek, your host, along with Paul Breiner, and we have the candidates for Carbon County Commission. And what's exciting is one of these two guys are going to be the next commissioner. So we've got the commissioner in the room. We're asking them questions on what's going to happen in the next 4 years. And, you know, one of the great things about my job is I get to work with a lot of great businesses like Jan Auto. They can find just about any car for you over there. So if you're looking for something for Paul, because, you know, a teenage driver needs a good, dependable car, or for an old fart like me, go over to JN Auto. They've got just about anything you need over there. We're going to head back into the questions, and we're going to start with Casey. I believe that's where we left off. This one was emailed in, and it says, there's been talk in the past about a Carbon County Rec Center. Would you support the construction of a multi-million dollar recreation center in Carbon County? If so, how would you fund the project?
I've always said that I was in support of a rec center, and I still stand to that. Right now, I don't know that it's the proper time to be building a rec center. I think we need to solidify and shore up our economy before we go into that endeavor. We are building other recreational opportunities for our children and our youth. We're building some soccer fields. Making sure that we maintain our baseball fields and softball fields for recreational opportunities for our youth. As far as how it would be built, I think mineral monies would be a good avenue in the future once mineral monies increase. But the problem with creating a rec center is, my opinion, and the way I would try and push for it, is that the maintenance and operation of the building would need to be passed forward in the form of a vote to the people. Are we willing to pay for the maintenance and operation of another county-run facility? That way we're not trying to operate another building on a on the budgets that we already have, but the people would be allowed to say, yes, this is what we want, and we're willing to pay for the maintenance. If the mineral monies are there, the building is easy to build. It's the maintenance and operation long-term that becomes the issue.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Hopes. Mr. Martinez?
You know, growing up in Carbon County, I thought we had a rec center. You know, we played outside, we went in the hills, we rode our bikes, we played baseball. And, you know, Carbon County always seemed like a rec center. But to get to actually funding a new building where we can work out, we can exercise, we can do all the things that some of these other communities have in these nice rec centers, you have to be able to afford it. And not only to have the money to put a building up, but to maintain it as well. I think a lot of the projects that we try to do in Carbon County, we're so excited to get it going, and we maybe start them a little premature. Some of the jobs, some of the things that we have here, we've actually had to redo because we didn't quite do it right the first time. So I think maybe, you know, if we can afford it, I'm for it. Let's build it. Or maybe put it on a ballot as an initiative and say, you know, community, is this what you want? If we all agree and we vote on it, then let's do it. But until we can afford it and maintain it, I don't know that that's the right thing to do.
Thank you. We'll start with you for our next question. It was submitted by a Carbon student. I'm not sure what the implications are at the county level, but we'll read it to you anyway. What are your thoughts on medical marijuana, and do you think it is a good thing? If it was legalized, how would you control it so that people don't abuse it?
You know, this kind of hits home a little bit, and I understand both sides of this argument. My grandmother passed away from ovarian cancer, and as my mom and her sisters watched her die, that thought actually went through their head: is how can we help her stay alive? How can we help her get an appetite? It's a sad thing to watch, and you feel for those people that have to go through something like that. The images that I had of my grandmother at that time, I don't want to remember, because that's not who she was. That's not the person I remember. So there is a struggle out there, and I think it's a good, open, honest debate. If there's a medical way that we can help people survive or age a little more comfortably, I would be willing to do that. But as far as a county level, I don't know that a county commissioner would have much effect on bringing that over a state, but I just want to say that I do understand both sides of that issue.
Thank you. Mr. Hope?
This was a topic that was greatly discussed in the legislature in the last session. And like Tony, I have a dear friend who's a commissioner in Box Elder who has a son who is in a great deal of pain day in and day out. And as we talked about medical marijuana, and it was very difficult for him to talk about his son and the pain that he went through daily, because some of the medicines that didn't help with the pain. Personally, I don't know that it should be passed unless it can be done in a way that is regulated through a pill or something, so it can't be abused. But as we know, all of our medications are abused. Most of them are abused. And thank goodness this is not an issue that we as county officials have to deal with. This is more of a state issue and a federal issue. It's a tough issue, but personally I don't think it should be.
Thank you, gentlemen. We're going to move into another question, kind of along the same lines. Emailed into us was drug abuse of illegal street-style drugs and legally obtained prescription meds is rampant in our area. What would you do as commissioner to reduce the amount of drugs used in our area?
Leave this goes to me then. As I talked about before, the CARE Coalition is one of those avenues that we're addressing this. The CARE Coalition, being an evidence-based program, is specifically targeting all types of drug use, both legal and illegal drug use. And the CARE Coalition is looking at all that data. They're currently in that process of looking at the data that was collected from the schools to find out how the kids are getting the drugs, what drugs they're abusing, and how can we better educate our youth. This program is mainly focused on our youth, is how can we help our youth avoid those situations that they're getting into. And other than that, we've been working with some of the doctors and some of the different agencies trying to have that discussion. Those are tough discussions because in most situations, those medications are needed. And whether they're abused, that's a tough discussion. But I think the CARE Coalition and working with our doctors and working with the courts who have to deal with this on a regular basis is a good step, and that's where we're heading right now.
All right. Thanks, Casey. Tony?
I think Sheriff Wood, some of the medical professionals in this area are trying to address that as best they can. You hate to see these young kids getting hooked on this stuff. And like I say, we never had to worry about that when we were a little bit younger, but it is here, it is in front of us, it's something that needs to be addressed. You wish you could just turn a switch off and just have none of that medication around, but I've heard stories too where these people get so caught up in these medications and they just need that fix that they actually follow people home from pharmacies. When they get a chance, they break into houses, things like that. It is a real problem. I think it's a combination of a few things that need to be addressed legally, but also through treatment. I mean, just because a kid gets hooked on it, I don't think we abandon him. I don't think we throw him in jail, let him try to dry out for a couple of days, and then put him back on the road. I think treatment, a little compassion with that, and a little understanding. I mean, nobody wants to have their house broken into, their things stolen. That's what these guys do. They get desperate. They just need that fix. And however we could address that on a county level, supporting local law enforcement, we just need to do that. It's just a terrible thing. And the flip side of that, too, is if we have such a drug issue here in Carbon County, it'd be tough to attract other industries in here, because that'll be one of the things that they'll find out, that once they come in, they're saying, you know, this is the place, this is where we want to be. You guys have a drug problem. I don't want to bring my family in there. I don't want to be a part of that. So there's multiple layers on this drug issue that we need to address, and it'll help us out as a community as a whole.
We'll move on to our next question and start with you. What do you believe is the purpose of the Recreation and Transportation Special Service District? What things should it be paying for?
Well, I know my son would say just the golf course. He enjoys that. I know they spend a lot of money there, but I think it's a good checks and balance system. You know, they do fund a lot of the projects throughout the county. There's a board that oversees them. It's a good way to kind of monitor some of the projects that are coming up, some of the things that are needed within the community. And from my vantage point, for what I have a job at it, so I don't know that I'd want to alter that at all. I don't know if I could, to be honest with you. Maybe Casey could answer that one, but I think overall they it's a good system. It's a good way to be set up.
Over to you.
Can I just get a repeat of the question so I understand it?
Uh-huh. What do you believe is the purpose of the Recreation and Transportation Special Service District? What things should it be paying for?
The Special Service District was set up. The county, because it receives payment in lieu of taxes or PILT, you can only receive one or the other. So the Special Service District was set up as a separate entity to be able to receive the mineral monies. So the county receives the PILT, and the Special Service District receives the mineral lease monies. The way the Special Service District operates today is great. The things that they fund
It was set up, and the cities at the time had the option to be part of the district, but they opted out because it is a taxing district. It hasn't taxed to date, but that doesn't mean that they don't have taxing authority. So do I think they're functioning properly? Yes. They've provided opportunities not just for the county, but also for the cities for multiple projects. It's been a great asset to our community to have that mineral money come in and help in every area of our community.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. We've just rolled over the top of the hour, so we've been at this for over an hour, so we're going to go to a FCC break so that we can do our legal IDs and all that fun stuff that the FCC requires of us. But I really want to thank you, gentlemen, for putting your name down to run for county commissioner, paying the fee, being out there campaigning, putting up signs, and being involved in the community. And I'd like to thank USU Eastern for being one of our great sponsors tonight and kind of giving us the incentive to do this.
Science indicates access to high-speed internet during the school years can lead to, but is not limited to, streamlined acquisition of data, academic achievement, career advancement, satisfying relationships, cuter children, and joy. Our conclusion? Procure e-fiber or Xtreme internet from Emory Telecom today. Contact Emory Telecom for a special back-to-school offer at 613-9605.
Morning in Eastern Utah. You open your eyes, we're there with breaking news.
From the 103.9 KOAL-FM newsroom, I'm Jordan Boscarini with local news.
You start to dress. KOAL's accurate weather forecast tell you how. You head to work. We'll tell you what might be in the way. Castle Country Mornings isn't just up before you. We're up for you on News Talk, 103.9 FM and 7:50 AM. KOAL.
Cars, trucks, SUVs, sold by people you trust at competitive prices. Hi, this is Jesse Nelson at Jan Auto in Huntington. At Jan Auto, we are committed to becoming the Castle Country's trusted pre-owned auto dealer. If you don't see the car you want on our lot, we'll find it for you. Come visit us today.
Justice program at USU Eastern is one of the most popular programs on the campus. The criminal justice field offers a wide variety of job options with this degree, not just in law enforcement and corrections, but also careers in the court system and attorneys or at their law offices. Their classes are generally smaller and they have the lowest tuition rates in the state. There is also financial aid available for those that qualify. For more information on the criminal justice program at USU Eastern, contact Scott Henry at 435-613-5135.
Rush Limbaugh. I make the mistake of assuming that everybody listens to this show every day and thus is able to understand the context of things that I say. News Talk, 103.9 FM and 7:50 AM. KOAL. Rush Limbaugh. The Ditto Head Nation knows that in Eastern Utah, they can hear the Rush Limbaugh Show weekdays from 10 to 1 on News Talk, 103.9 FM and 7:50 AM. KOAL.
Science indicates access to high-speed internet during the school years can lead to, but is not limited to, streamlined acquisition of data, academic achievement, career advancement, satisfying relationships, cuter children, and joy. Our conclusion? Procure e-fiber or Xtreme internet from Emory Telecom today. Contact Emory Telecom for a special back-to-school offer at 613-9605.
Serving Eastern Utah for over 80 years. 103.9 FM, 7:50 AM, KOAL, Price. Tune to News Talk 103.9 FM and 7:50 AM, KOAL, and find out what's trending now around the world and around the corner. In an uncertain world, News Talk KOAL gives you something you can count on. Consistent news and information 24/7. So check back 2, 3, 4 times a day and stay connected. ABC Radio News on the hour, every hour. News Talk 103.9 FM and 7:50 AM, KOAL.
listening to Meet the Candidates 2016 on KOAL 103.9 FM, 7:50 a.m., and at KOALITV.com. Back to your host, Andy Urbanek.
And sorry for the delay there. And I'm joined with by Paul Briner, who is the Carbon High Sterling Scholar candidate. You can say something. For social science. And so we're pleased to have him here with us. He gathered questions from Carbon High School students, and I gathered questions off of Election 2016 at KOAL.net. You're listening to KOAL Radio at 103.9 FM and 7:50 AM. Only been around for 80 years, guys. A few days. Just brand new, ready to go, just like a new kid. We're joined by Casey Hopes and Tony Martinez, the two candidates for county commissioner. This November, it's important that you get out and vote. And if we were in Chicago, I'd say vote often. But here in Utah, we can only vote once, darn it. But get out and vote and support the process. Get registered if you're not registered so that you can vote and voice your opinions and get involved. It's a great process. We're going to jump back into questioning because we have, I think there's 560 questions that were submitted. So I don't think we have time for them all, but we're going to try. We're going to give it our best try. We're going to focus this question at Casey to begin with. Carbon County's North Spring Recreation Area, the shooting range, is an amazing facility that costs Carbon County to operate. Would you support selling or leasing the facility to a private company in order to reduce the negative financial impact on the county's budget?
Simple yes or no's.
It's your game.
We have looked at multiple options for the Carbon the North Spring Shooting Range. We've looked at doing a public-private partnership where the county still owns and maintains it and advertises it, but we have a private operator come in and run the gun range. And the incentive to do that would be that person, whoever would come in and run it, that company, would have all the incentive to make sure that the gun range is full all the time. So we've looked at options like that. I don't know, you know, if somebody came in with the right dollar amount to sell that, that would be something that we'd have to put up to the public to see if they would want it to be in private hands. We've already spent the money. One thing we have done as a commission is we've reduced the operating budget out there and increased the amount of money that we receive as revenue from people using the range. When the facility was built, it was in the hundreds of thousands of dollars that it cost to operate the gun range. Right now, currently, we're budgeting around $80,000 to run the gun range. So we've decreased the operating expenses at the gun range tremendously. I think a public-private partnership would be a fantastic way to go.
All right. Thank you, Casey. Tony?
You know, it is a fantastic facility. We get a lot of people from outside the area that do come into it, and a lot of the locals as well. I know they've had some shooting competitions, and some of them are actually pretty interesting. This kind of gets out to the back to the thing about communication, but they do have certain people come into this area, do the long target shooting, that basically are your military types. The guys don't have their faces exposed. You can't talk to them. They're doing specific training out there for the military. I don't know if a lot of people know that, but it's pretty fascinating. Can you afford to keep it open? You know, again, we're talking mineral lease money. What can we do in the county? What can we not? If we can afford it, let's keep it open. It's a great facility. If we need to look at a private partnership with somebody that's interested in it, maybe we have to do that as well. There's a lot of options that we need to look at. When the piggy bank's full, we can do a lot of things, but when we're trying to shake that last coin or two out, that's when things get a little tougher and some harder decisions are going to have to be made. But I think that we need to capitalize on that facility, advertise it as much as we can, keep people coming in from outside the area, bring in those tourist dollars, and just keep that operating. And it's a great facility. There's all long-distance shooting. There's the archery as well. I know a lot of the police officers come in from outside of the area to recertify there. So it's a great facility. I like it. And I think everybody should go out there and enjoy it as well.
Thanks, Tony. We'll start with you for our next question. It was submitted by a Carbon High student, actually. What do you believe are the main things that county commissioners should be trying to accomplish?
I think being leaders, obviously, if the community is going to vote for them and support them, I think they need to lead the community. And that doesn't mean that they have all the answers. There's a lot of people in this community you need to rely on for those answers. But commissioners need to be a part of the community as well, support the local events, show up and be there. You know, there's always that thing that ABC, always buying carbon, and promote that. You need to promote the community you live in. You need to be proud of where you come from, where you live. And I think, you know, a county commissioner has to be the cheerleader for the county. Yes, there are some issues you have to address. I've been a football official for 20 years, and I know that you can't keep everybody happy. You know, you make one call, and one team likes you, and you make another call, the other team likes you. It's just like that in politics. You're not always going to be the most popular guy out there, but if your values are straight, just like a rule book in football, if you have your own values, your moral compass, decisions can be made. You can be a leader. You can help this community. Help young Paul be a commissioner one day as well. So, you know, pass on ambitions to these young kids and see what opportunities are out there for them.
Thank you. Casey?
Statutorily, we have certain obligations that we're supposed to fulfill, and that's providing for the health, safety, and welfare of our community and our citizens. We also have obligations to, specifically for commissioners, is to control the budget. Make sure that what we're bringing in through property taxes and other revenue sources is what's going out. And that's one thing that we've tried very hard to do. Over the past 4 years as a commissioner, we've taken a budget in 2011 that was around just under $25 million as an operating budget, and we've reduced that to $17 million, just over $17 million, or right around $17 million in an operating budget. We've had, because of the tough times, we've had to do that. So those are some of the obligations and responsibilities we have. And I would agree with Tony that part of our job is to be out in the community. I've taken opportunities to serve in multiple areas in our community, to helping the youth. I appreciate Tony as being an official. Those kinds of things help our youth to be better citizens. And I've taken some of those opportunities as well to be involved with our youth and in different activities and scouting and football. And it is important that our leaders are out in the community and we're taking part in everything that happens.
Thank you, gentlemen. Like I've told you before, I appreciate you both coming and spending this night with us and fielding these questions and being candidates for commissioner and wanting to volunteer and step up and be a part of the community. I'm going to start with you with this next question, Casey. Carbon County's event center sits vacant most of the year. What can be done to better utilize this amazing facility in order to create revenue for the county rather than being a financial drain that it is now?
It's a great question, and this is a question that's been plaguing us and that we've been working on ever since I came onto the commission. We've worked tremendously hard at finding ways to fill that venue, as well as all the other venues, the North Spring Shooting Range, and some of them are taking off a little better than others. The North Spring Shooting Range continues to grow in its popularity. As far as the event center, it's a little bit different of an animal. It's a little harder venue. Most people, when they go to conventions, they're in bigger cities, larger populations, but we've been trying to create emergency service conferences where we're bringing other counties in to use the facility. We're trying to use those kinds of avenues, maybe not public opportunities, but we're bringing in county type operations that will help fill that facility. And the way they help is, yeah, we're running the program,
but they're coming in, staying in our hotels, they're eating at our restaurants, and the building is being used for our benefit as well as other people, other counties' benefit.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Hopes. Mr. Martinez?
You know, it is a nice facility. I've been able to attend a few banquets there when I was on the Southeastern Utah Energy Producers Board and as their president. And it's a great facility to have a banquet, to have a band come in and play. It is tough to get that place full every day. Every weekend would be nice. I think that'd be pretty optimistic. But, you know, maybe if you asked people in the community, business leaders, other industries around, would you like to have a convention? Would you like to have an open meeting? How can we get this facility used? If we talk to the community, you know, maybe the college has something going on, the hospital has some special event coming up, let's utilize that facility. Let's start attracting people from outside the area to show off what we have. I know we've had some baseball tournaments, softball tournaments, and it's been fed back to me that these people come down, they see Carbon County, and they enjoy it here. They really like the open spaces, the friendly atmosphere that we have here, the kickback, relaxed atmosphere. You know, maybe we need to capitalize that a little bit better with some federal meetings in there, just more community events in there. And I know there's been a change there as far as who oversees that, and maybe that's what it needs as well, is just kind of a kickstart to get that moving.
Thank you. Well, our next question, we'll start with you again. It's from a Carbon student. What do you plan to do about the public versus federal lands debate?
I'm glad that the high school kids are being taught about the issues that are on the surfaces and on the main plate for a lot of the politicians. Again, I don't know if the county commissioner can do too much to affect that. A lot of that is state and federal, but as kids are learning about these issues, I'm glad to hear that they're concerned about these types of issues. I can just say get involved with it. Talk to your state and federal representatives. Tell them what you think. Tell them what's important to you and why it is. This is a great place. We don't want to be told from somebody in Washington, D.C. how we need to live and how we need to enjoy this area. I think we need to tell them this is what we're going to do. But that's my personal opinion on that.
Thank you.
I would agree with you, Tony. Some of the problems that we have is we're being told in our area that our way of life is not the way of life that can be the things that we do on our lands. There are a couple different things that are happening currently. Is this better? There are a couple things that are happening. It's a setting aside wilderness areas that should be wilderness, as well as setting up energy areas and recreational areas and conservation areas and setting aside those uses so that we're no longer fighting over the federal lands and what can be used where. One of the other processes pieces of legislation that I support is the transfer of public lands to the state so that the state, those who are closest to us, can help us decide what we should do on our lands.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Hopes. We're going to head into a little break here. One of the things I want to talk to you about is one of our great sponsors, J&N Auto. Paul here, wouldn't it be great to have a Ford Explorer with three rows of seats so you can haul all your buddies around?
Yes.
Yes. J&N Auto actually has one on the lot that has leather interior, a backup camera.
Ooh.
You would never run into anything again. And blind spot monitors. You'd be able to see things coming up on you. So as you're not texting and you're listening to the radio or whatever you're doing, you can be safe. And it's at a great price, too. So go over to J&N Auto in Huntington. Check it out. Buy it. Tell me you heard it here. You're listening to KOAL Radio.
Indicates access to high-speed internet during the school years can lead to, but is not limited to, streamlined acquisition of data, academic achievement, career advancement, satisfying relationships, cuter children, and joy. Our conclusion? Procure eFiber or Xstream Internet from Emory Telecom today. Contact Emory Telecom for a special back-to-school offer at 613-9605.
Ladies and gentlemen, one of radio's most unusual programs.
When Radio Was, the show featuring classic radio programs, News Talk, KOAL, is proud to present these golden age gems of radio's past. When Radio Was, hosted by old-time radio expert Greg Bell, weeknights from 7 to 9 on News Talk, 103.9 FM and 750 AM, KOAL.
It's not too late to enroll at USU Eastern for the fall semester. USU Eastern has many degree options for many different individuals. Have you ever thought, I don't think I can afford to go to college? Well, here's a thought. You don't know if you can afford it if you don't look into it. Whether you're a student fresh out of high school or anyone else that has thought about going to college, call 613-5616 today and take the first step to a new beginning. Make sure to ask about financial aid options through FAFSA. Get off the procrastination train and head to USU Eastern. Let them help transform your life.
How much do you know about the candidates running to represent you? KOALITV.com, along with GN Auto Sales and USU Eastern, are proud to bring you Meet the Candidates every Tuesday night starting at 5 p.m. live on KOAL 103.9 FM, 750 AM, and this year streaming live at KOALITV.com. Join us at Carbon High School Library Tuesday, September 27th, where we will be talking with David Hinkins and Heidi Redd. You, the public, have the opportunity to ask questions. Email questions prior to the show to election2016@KOAL.net. Listen live so you can make an informed decision this November.
At J&N Auto, we aren't looking for a quick sale. We want lifelong customers. That means being a dealership you can trust. This is Jesse at J&N Auto. At J&N Auto, we won't cut corners to try to sell you a car you do not want. Your satisfaction is our number one priority. Quality you can rely on. Service you can trust. That's J&N Auto.
You're listening to Meet the Candidates 2016 on KOAL 103.9 FM, 750 AM, and at KOALITV.com. Back to your host, Andy Urbanek.
Welcome back to Meet the Candidates 2016 here at Carbon High School Library. We are being joined by Paul Briner, the Sterling Scholar candidate, is that right? For social science. Wow, what a mouthful. I can hardly even speak those words. But also we're joined by Casey Hopes, the current Carbon County Commissioner, and Tony Martinez, the challenger. I'm at a loss for words. I know my wife would be like, that never happens. How did you lose words? But we'd like to welcome everybody to this. One of the things that I want to remind the listeners is USU Eastern Sports has a all-encompassing sports package that you can buy. So you could go to the rodeo this weekend. You can start going to the volleyball games. You can go to the basketball games. Anything that's charged admission, you would be able to get into at USU Eastern. And so go check it out over the BDAC. If you don't know where the BDAC is, ask one of these two guys. They know exactly where it's at. I'm sure they've played there a little bit of ball and watched some games. We're going to jump right into questioning again since we've got a lot of questions. We're getting short on time, so we want to get as many as we can without yes and no answers. Nine Mile Canyon is known worldwide for its archaeological sites, with over 65% of the canyon bottom being privately owned. What can Carbon County do to provide the needed infrastructure needed by guests in the canyon? And we're going to start with Casey.
I guess by infrastructure, they're talking about opportunities to park their trailers and maybe camp. There are opportunities in the canyon without even building any facilities. There's the Nine Mile Ranch that provides an opportunity for people to go and stay at. They have lodging. Sometimes they'll even provide meals when you're out there. It's a really nice place that they've got out there. I think those that would like to go and recreate there, most often they stay in hotels and in Price, which would be a benefit. There are some things that we're working on through the Carbon County Trails Committee as far as creating some dry camping facilities in the canyon that would provide an opportunity for people to stay. And is why I'm talking about the Trails Committee. We're also trying to create a trail or a link of our trails with Duchesne's Trails, which would allow us to go from Nine Mile Canyon over into Duchesne and then back around to Carbon through Starvation Canyon and back around into Price. So it'd create this large multi-day loop which would mean that we would need some of those dry camping facilities.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Hopes. Mr. Martinez?
Yeah, I agree with that, too. Nine Mile Canyon's a beautiful place. The freshly paved road up there as well, it just makes that access so much easier for a lot of people. I mean, a car, bike, whatever, you can travel up there and just enjoy that area. If you did have some dry camping areas, you know, that would be great as well. People could spend a little bit more time up there just enjoying what Carbon County has to offer. Nine Mile, it's a beautiful place. I spent a lot of time going up there to the coal mines, Soldier Creek and Dugout. And my favorite time of year was always about this time because the leaves were changing. You'd see the animals out and about. Hopefully you didn't have them on the road and you know, you weren't bouncing them off your bumpers. But it is a beautiful place. If we can get some more tourism up there, dry camping areas. Moab has as well the micro trailers, the micro tents, little camping areas where people can come and enjoy. That'd be great. I really don't want to open that up to a lot of industrialized things, like building a hotel or a restaurant up there. But the way we're progressing with Nine Mile, I think the dry camping areas would be perfect.
Our next question is, what events in your life have prepared you for this position? And we'll start with you, Tony.
What events, huh? You know, it seems like whether you try to be something that you're not or you try to fight something that's always been kind of nagging on you, I've always kind of been a leader. I've always, anything I've joined, I've always kind of worked my way up through the board, through the president. Even in this school, years ago, I was sophomore class president, junior class president. And in work, I've always achieved. I've always excelled. So having opportunities to work hard, obviously, I'll kind of joke a little bit about it, but officiating has probably prepared me the most for this position. People are adamant on the sports field. They want to win. They think their idea is the best. And sometimes you have to tell them, well, it just didn't work out right. And you're not the most popular guy for saying that, but you have to say it. Those values of doing the right thing is a lot of that I've learned from sports, a lot that I've learned from elderly people around me. But I think living in this community has prepared me for this position. Knowing the people, knowing the industries, being around all the things that Carbon County can offer, that's prepared me for this position.
Thanks. Casey, over to you.
There's a couple of things that have prepared me for the opportunity to serve as a county commissioner. I think, first and foremost, my parents. I owe a lot to them, not just because they always talk politics, but more because they taught me a work ethic. And I've applied that in my job as a commissioner. I'm there. I answer the phone. I work hard to provide answers, even though some of those answers are very difficult answers. Sometimes people don't like the answers that are given. But I do a lot of research and I put a lot of effort into making sure I get the answers right for when people call and have a difficult question that they need answered. The other thing that's prepared me is my education. I studied at the University of Utah, and being an undergrad when I went in, I couldn't get all the classes that I need, so I took some political science classes. And there were a lot of opportunities to understand a little more about how government works and what we're supposed to be doing, and that we're not always the answer. The government doesn't have all the answers, and we shouldn't have all the answers. Sometimes it's the people that should help us create those answers and work through our issues, and we shouldn't always look to the government. So those are the things that have prepared me.
All right, thank you for that. The next question was emailed in, and I'm going to read it because it's a big, long one again. And it says, Carbon County recently finalized two amazing recreational trail systems, the Woodhill Mountain Bike Trail System and the Cross Country Motorized Trail System. Carbon County government was instrumental in getting them legalized and designated. What role do you see Carbon County government playing in the promotion and utilization of these trail systems for tourism?
This is a great question. This is one that I have a lot of love for, having been on that Trails Committee and worked with the Trails Committee currently. The recreational opportunities that this trail system will provide, I don't think we fully understand yet. We're just scratching the surface as it's a new trail system, and we're just now getting, because we couldn't really legally advertise until recently, especially on the bike trail. We've been advertising the ATV trail, but on the bike trail, until we got all the permits and all the okays from all the federal agencies to say, yeah, you can use it. This will provide an added addition to not only our tourism opportunities, but our recreational opportunities for our citizens. It will provide for a better quality of life for the people who live here. We will have a better place, more opportunities for each of us individually. I look forward, as I said before, to creating loops between our county and other counties that will draw people into our community to stay in our hotels overnight while they're passing through over to Duchesne or into Emory or into some of these other communities. We're just scratching the surface on our tourism opportunities in our community, and this is a great thing that we've got going right now.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Hopes. Mr. Martinez?
Yeah, I agree. The trail system is great. I've been on Luke's trail with my son and his buddies several times and got the scratches to prove it. I'm getting a little close to some of those cedars, but it's just a beautiful area. The scenic view from up on top of Wood Hill when you get back inside of some of those little hollows, it's pretty amazing. So I think if we could attract some people to come in and enjoy those, stay the night, have some good food in this area, the word will get out. I know a lot of the guys, a lot of the bikes that we see are going down to Moab. They're going down towards Monticello, getting on the Blues. It's great scenery down there too, but I think those guys need to stop here, spend a night, and just see what Carbon County has to offer as well. The ATV trails, you can go, I mean, for miles on end. And if we could model something like what Moab has done with Colorado, they have a 100-mile ride. You know, maybe we could do that as well. You could go into Emory County, Duchesne County, Sevier County. There's endless possibilities. We have the open space. We have the facilities, so to speak. We just need to capitalize on it. And word of mouth is probably the best for that. We can do social media and that sort of thing as well and have competitions, but just word of mouth, I think, is going to help this out tremendously as well.
Thank you. Our next question was submitted by a Carbon student. It was, what are one or two changes you would like to see take place in the county government if you are elected? We'll start with you, Mr. Martinez.
Changes in the county government. I think that the sheriff should go after all the high school kids that are putting these questions out. And no. You know, changes, you would hope to see that there was more opportunity in the county. It'd be nice if we could hire more people. If things were developing so much that we could bring on new jobs, new industry, new things into Carbon County. As far as changing anything, there's a couple of ideas that I have, maybe to help with some tourism, to try to do that a little bit. To try to attract some more industry, obviously. And once we get a few businesses, I think the cornerstone will be those new industries, and we'll just build on top of that. So maybe it's just the first step of getting that new industry to come in. But as far as changing, I'm not here to change the world. I'm here to advise what I think's best, and we'll let the people decide if that's the right thing or not.
Thank you. Casey?
What would I change in county government? Having sat on both sides as somebody that was running for commissioner and somebody that's currently in the commission, there's a lot of learning that has to go on to be able to function in as a commissioner. The things, I don't know that there's too many things that I would change. I think one of the things that I would change is the communication, and we talked about that a little bit earlier in one of the other questions. And that's just helping the public understand more of what we're doing
and being more involved in our community, letting people know what events are happening, what county functions are coming up next, so that people can be more involved and more understanding about what issues are facing the county at this time.
All right, thank you. Another long question. I don't know why I got all the long questions. He got all the one-answer questions, but here we go. Carbon County has long been the pass-through community, with our motels, convenience stores, and restaurants being utilized for one night by tourists on their way somewhere else. What can county government do to enhance those tourists or entice those tourists to stay an extra day?
I was just meeting with Shalee Johansson, who's the tourism director, just today, and we were talking about this very issue. About 5 years ago, our hotels were pretty full, but it didn't have anything to do with tourism. It had to do with our industry. Today, we've actually grown by about 0.5% over last year, but I can tell you that it's tourism that's grown and not industry. Our industry is very stagnant at this time, and so any growth that we're realizing, matter of fact, probably about 20%, I'll be conservative, 20% of our restaurant and hotel stays have gone down by the industries, but have been made up by the tourism. We're, through the county, we're opportunities to incentivize people to do that one more stay, to stay one more night. As we build our trail systems, advertise the functions that we have, the different things in our county. Apparently, I've got the magic touch. I'm killing mics right and left. Those are the things that will help create a better opportunity for those multiple night stays.
Thank you, Mr. Martinez.
Well, I think the quickest and simplest would be to put toll gates on the exits. So once they get off the exit, they can't get back out unless they stay a night. So, yeah. I think that's what it is. Carbon County, as we know, in the summertime especially, you see the boats going through, the mountain bikes. Everybody's heading down to Lake Powell and Moab, and that's great. You know, recreate down there. But tourism is starting to pick up a little bit here. We're only 60 miles away from Utah County. A lot of those people are coming down here for different tournaments, for different music events. The university has great things to offer as well. What we need to do is make Carbon a little bit more of a destination and not just a pass-through town. You know, if we could bring in a couple of different things, attractions. I know they tried to do that with the wave pool. There's really a great energy and helper right now. A lot of those buildings are being bought up. A lot of investment is being made into that community. Main Street's done. It's just a beautiful little area. So maybe we can capitalize on that with some art shows, some plays, some theater. That's great. You know, we don't have to be one-dimensional down in Carbon County and rely just on sports. We have a great educational facility and a great arts area as well. So those are different things that we can capitalize and get people to stay here more than just an hour to fuel up and grab a burger.
All right, thank you. We'll move on to the next question now. Oh, it looks like I have the big one now. Utah State University Eastern has always held great potential for providing some economic stability for this area. The relationship between USUE, Price City, and Carbon County seems to have improved greatly in recent years. What do you see for the future partnership between the college and the county?
Oh, you know what? I work for Bodek Electric, and the biggest thing right now is finding electricians. USU Eastern offers an apprentice program, and to capitalize on that and what the needs are in this community would be tremendous. That would be great. It's always a tough thing. I've attended CEU back in the day when it was called that. I know it was the Carbon College even before that. So it's had a couple different names. The programs that they offer there, the colleges up north, UVU, BYU, Utah, they're at max. I think we can expand down here, try to get some more enrollment, and also if we could make some of these classes available to seniors. You know, maybe we could attract some seniors to move into Carbon County and they could get some, you know, I don't know if it's free education, but maybe sit into some of the classes and learn what the kids are learning. Continued education is a great thing. My mom was a school teacher. She taught elementary and middle school here for over 20 years. So education's always been an important thing to me and to my family. And you can ask our son, before he does anything, before he goes on any of these golf outings, he makes sure that his homework's done because he knows mom and dad are going to be on him. So education, the relationship that is between USU Eastern and the county can only improve and get better.
Mr. Hopes.
I really like this question. The relationship between the county and the cities and the college are great right now, and it's been because of the efforts that each of us have put in to making sure that we're communicating better between the different agencies. If you look at any college town that has embraced their college, they grow because those college towns, those colleges provide the training for those job opportunities when we get manufacturing or we get other job opportunities. That's the training ground for those businesses. So as we embrace our college as a community and as government, our opportunities to have more businesses come here will grow because the training, the on-the-job training will happen at the college. They don't have to go somewhere else to train. It'll be here. It's been a great thing to work with the college. The college has made some wonderful strides in the services that they provide and the things that they do in our community. They are 100% community involved, and it's been great to work with the college.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Hopes, Ms. Martinez. I'd like to thank the college, USU Eastern, for being one of our sponsors tonight. They are very active in the community and want to be a part of the community and invite all the community members out to check out their sports, check out classes. If you've ever thought you wanted to learn something, go take a class at USU Eastern. I'm sure they've got one in whatever field you want to think about. We're going to take off and go to break for just a moment, our last break, before we wrap up and ask all the tough questions, so stay tuned to KOAL.
Science indicates access to high-speed internet during the school years can lead to, but is not limited to, streamlined acquisition of data, academic achievement, career advancement, satisfying relationships, cuter children, and joy. Our conclusion? Procure e-fiber or Xstream internet from Emory Telecom today. Contact Emory Telecom for a special back-to-school offer at 613-9605.
News Talk, KOAL. The Michael Medved Show is America's number one show on pop culture and politics.
Let me disagree with you. Do you think that handing someone a check is the best demonstration of compassion? Or is it a better demonstration of compassion to show someone respect and to try to clear away the obstacles in his path?
The Michael Medved Show, weekdays from 5 to 7 on News Talk, 103.9 FM and 750 AM, KOAL.
The Criminal Justice Program at USU Eastern is one of the most popular programs on the campus. The criminal justice field offers a wide variety of job options with this degree, not just in law enforcement and corrections, but also careers in the court system and attorneys or at their law offices. Their classes are generally smaller, and they have the lowest tuition rates in the state. There is also financial aid available for those that qualify. For more information on the Criminal Justice Program at USU Eastern, contact Scott Henry at 435-613-5135.
Morning in Eastern Utah. You open your eyes, we're there with breaking news.
From the 103.9 KOAL FM newsroom, I'm Jordan Boscarini with local news.
You start to dress, KOAL's accurate weather forecast tell you how. You head to work, we'll tell you what might be in the way. Castle Country Mornings isn't just up before you, we're up for you on News Talk, 103.9 FM and 750 AM, KOAL.
How much do you know about the candidates running to represent you? KOALITV.com, along with JN Auto Sales and USU Eastern, are proud to bring you Meet the Candidates every Tuesday night starting at 5 p.m. live on KOAL 103.9 FM, 750 AM, and this year streaming live at KOALITV.com. Join us at Carbon High School Library Tuesday, September 27th, where we will be talking with David Hinkins and Heidi Redd. You, the public, have the opportunity to ask questions. Email questions prior to the show to election2016@KOAL.net. Listen live so you can make an informed decision this November.
Cars, trucks, SUVs, sold by people you trust at competitive prices. Hi, this is Jesse Nelson at JN Auto in Huntington. At JN Auto, we are committed to becoming the Castle Country's trusted pre-owned auto dealer. If you don't see the car you want on our lot, we'll find it for you. Come visit us today.
You're listening to Meet the Candidates 2016 on KOAL 103.9 FM, 750 AM, and at KOALITV.com. Back to your host, Andy Urbanek.
Welcome back to Meet the Candidates 2016. You're listening to KOAL Radio 103.9 FM and 750 AM, or watching on KOALITV.com. I would like to give a shout-out to Paul Anderson, the owner, general manager. I think he takes out the trash on Tuesday mornings and does just about anything that needs to happen around the radio station. Family-owned for 80 years, and he's carrying on a family legacy. And I just want to thank him for allowing me to do this, because I'm the political person that thinks of all these weird things to do. And I'd also like to thank Jordan Buscarino, our sports director, for volunteering his time and taking away from his family time to be here. And I'd also like to thank Paul Briner, that is here with me as the Sterling Scholar candidate for social science, and for his time and for his wanting to host this at Carbon High. And thank Carbon High for letting us have it here. Principal Bean was more than gracious when I approached him about it. He said, yeah, we can do that. And I just want to thank him, and the librarian too. She is wonderful. We've got a few more questions before we wrap up. I'm actually going to throw in a wild card question that came in from the audience. Is the Gourley Wash Reservoir a reality? What are the details that we have to jump through? And I believe we're going to Casey on this one.
Is the Gourley Wash Reservoir a reality? Yes. Let me give just a little bit of background on this. A little while ago, I was sitting in a meeting talking about the Carbon Canal diversion. And out of that Carbon Canal diversion discussion, we started talking about some of the other water resources or needs of our community. And from that, we started thinking maybe we need to have a broader discussion. So we, Jones and Emil, started contacting and gathering together a large body of interested and involved people, and we started talking. And out of that discussion, we talked about multiple reservoir sites. The Gourley Wash site proved out to be probably the better of all the sites, would provide the best bang for the buck. The problem in anything that we do is going to be the financing. And that will be the problem with this. We have to be able to figure out how to finance the Gourley Wash project so that we can store some of the water, Price City's water, that's been flowing by us for the past however many years. The thing we're doing currently, though, is putting into place a project that's shelf-ready, so when we do find the funding and everything comes together, the project is ready to go. We've already done the geological testing. We've already proved it out to be a good site for a dam. And that is what we're currently working on. So yes, to answer your question, yes, it is a viable site, but this may be a multiple-year project to be able to come to fruition.
All right. Thank you, Case. Tony?
You know, Utah is one of the drier states in the nation. We need as much water as we can. It's funny, I was reading some stuff, some history about Carbon County, and a lot of the towns that were settled back the late 1800s, early 1900s, they were having issues with water. A lot of people didn't stay around Carbon County because of water issues. So this is nothing new. It's been around for several years. The only problem or issue now is you have more people here than 100 years ago. So water is always going to be important. I think even if we do the Garley Wash or something similar to that, down the road we're still going to be talking water issues. If Schofield's not full, if we don't get a heavy winter, we can build all the retention ponds we want, but if there's nothing flowing, we won't be able to catch it. I haven't been privy to all the information on the Garley Wash. I know they were doing a study as far as the effectiveness of capturing water there and keeping it inside there. You know, there's a lot of fissures, there's a lot of clay in this area, a lot of the shell as well that this water could seep through. And we don't want to have any issues there. So is it the best place? I don't know. I'll leave that to the experts. Bottom line, I do know is that we do need more water. And if we can capture it somewhere within Carbon County to help for the secondary water, and obviously we can afford it, then it's something we'll definitely have to look at.
Tony, we have one more question for you guys, I believe. This one's pretty broad. Why should you be elected?
My name backwards is why not, so why not? You know, I feel like living here in Carbon County most of my life, I've been interested in politics, obviously with my dad being mayor back in the 80s. I was introduced to some pretty tremendous people, and my brother actually picked up Senator Hatch one time at the airport, and we got to talk to him as he was coming down for a meeting. So I've always kind of been intrigued by politics. I've always kind of gotten into it. This is the deepest I've ever gotten into it. I feel like I know the community. The best part about growing up in Carbon County is its diversity. We're not like a lot of the other places you can find within Utah, and it's mainly because of the people, what we have to offer here. It's just been a great place to grow up, a lot of values, a lot of just good experiences in this area, and I want to keep that going. I don't want Carbon County to dry up and not be a viable place. I want it to grow. I want it to be a good place. I want it to be a place where kids can come back and visit with family. Because as we said earlier, you know, not everybody's going to stay in Carbon County. There's some that friends that I know that went into the military and did some pretty tremendous things there. But Carbon County's always been home, and I want to keep it that way for not only our community right now as it is, but for future generations to develop.
Thanks, Tony. Over to you, Casey.
I don't think there's any debate that needs to happen on whether either one of us love Carbon County. I think that's been proven throughout the night that we both have a great love for not only the county, but everything that happens here for the people. I think what makes me the candidate would be my experience as a commissioner. I understand the budgets. I've worked through them. And these have been difficult budgets to work through. I've made some positive relationships with all of the mayors and the different cities and the different things that are going on. I have some good relationships with elected officials up at the state level. Not to say that Tony can't make those relationships, and I think he would be a great at making some of those relationships, but I currently have some of those relationships and are working to secure our opportunities in our community. I've had some very good conversations with the governor, and he's very concerned about our area, and we're working on different projects with him and with different state stakeholders to develop good things for our area. I'm very grateful for the opportunity to have served as a commissioner, and I look forward to another 4 years of dedicating my hard work to doing that.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate both your time, being here, giving up of your evening. I want to thank our sponsors, JN Auto, USU Eastern, for providing the finances for us to be here. Also for Emory Telecom for sending ETV10 and Chance Richens. So I want to give a shout-out to Chance back there. And also for KOAL, putting this on the airwaves, and KOAL-ITV for broadcasting it live. And as we wrap up here, I would like to just give you the opportunity, give you 2 minutes each to give us your concluding wrap-up, get out and vote, you know, whatever it is, your mumbo-jumbo, your voodoo, spell to convince us to vote for you and what you're about. Casey, we'll start with you.
Once again, I'd like to thank everybody for being here. This is more than in a normal commission meeting. This is great. I'd like to thank Tony again for running, for giving me the opportunity to do a little soul searching and to find out if I'm doing the right things and if we're working hard enough on creating opportunities for our citizens. As I stated in my opening remarks, Carbon County is truly the gem of all of Utah. We have so many opportunities here. And I am thankful for the opportunity to have served, and I will serve, if reelected, in the same manner. I will be in my office. I will be making those contacts and those phone calls. I will be answering your questions. And I will be working hard to do those things that are important for our future, for our kids. And like you said, Andy, get out and vote. If you don't go and vote, it doesn't matter for me or for Tony. Get out and vote. Our local elections, you might be dissatisfied with the presidential elections, but what happens in our community matters as well. So please get out and vote.
I would also like to extend my thank you to Paul Anderson and KOAL, Andy, yourself. Paul, I think hopefully you're going to win this, right? You're going to be the Sterling Scholar. And this is all going to pay off for you. Also, I'd like to thank Casey and Jana, and the daughters. They're just beautiful girls, and I know they've been really great and fun out there on the road, and we've kind of traded popsicles from time to time, but don't tell Dad. The reason I want to vote or wanted to run for county commissioner is obvious. I mean, we all want the best for our community. We have some challenging times right now with the coal, the energy going away, kind of the things that we're used to. But I know with my connections, with my experience in the energy industry, I can bring some other things here. The connections I have with some of the state people, I ran into Spencer Cox over in North San Pete the other day and talked to him and his son Gavin. So it's just the connections that you make. You have to do that as a politician. You have to stay in communication with the people that elect you and even those that don't elect you. This is one community. It's not one town versus another town. It's one county. And we need to pull this together. We're here to support each other. We're not here to fight and beat heads against each other. And to touch on the national scene, that is a vote for who's not the worst. I think we don't have that here. As a matter of fact, I know we don't have that here. I do want to urge everybody to go out and vote. I believe it's time for a new direction in Carbon County, and we need to make some changes and get going in a different direction, but I believe I'm the one to help make that come to be.
Thank you, gentlemen. Now we're going to go back to the KOAL studios.
You've been listening to Meet the Candidates 2016 General Election, Carbon County Commissioners Edition. We will complete the Meet the Candidates 2016 series next week with Senator David Hinkins and Heidi Redd. We now take you to regular scheduled programming.